Radio. You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Mickey Voisard, and thanks for joining us. I'm hosting today in my hometown of Tubac in the southern desert of Arizona, and my host today is Jane's Attic, our local consignment shop here in Tubac, and a great hangout for people and their dogs. On today's show, I'll be talking about pet food and our beginnings of feeding pets. And on the last half of the show, I'll take a question or two from our local folks here at Jane's Attic. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Muttropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. The subject of whether you should feed your pet naturally or with commercial food has always been one of controversy. So to keep this simple, I'm going to talk mainly about dogs and food, but I will do a future show just about cats. At one time, you know, human and dog walked this earth. Just about 10,000 years ago, we were like walking with our dogs and feeding our dogs without commercial pet food. And the beginnings of commercial food kind of started late in the 1800s, but did not kick in until about World War II. And even at that point, a lot of people didn't feed their dogs or didn't spend money on picking up food for their dogs. They just fed them whatever they had. But commercial food kind of started because of the lack of available food during the war. And it was really not popular until about the mid-60s. You know, that was kind of like the time when people started talking about canned food. And when I was growing up, I fed my dogs naturally. And then I switched. I remember switching when I got off on my own in the early 70s and had my own pets. And I thought it was real cool to just go and buy my canned food instead of cooking it. And so I was doing the opposite of what I'm doing today. But The contents of some of the food, the older commercial food, compared to today's commercial food, was pretty dramatic. At one time, I remember when I first opened my Dog Chef of America kitchen and headquarters, and my aunt called me, and she said that she had some canned food left over from when she closed her store back in the mid-60s. And she said, well, would you like some of those cans so you could put them on your shelf? And I said, yeah, that would be great. And when they arrived, I was really intrigued by the ingredients because I thought, well, I'm going to read the ingredients and see what's in here. And there were only 5 ingredients. That was absolutely amazing. And most of those ingredients were pretty much basic. They were meat, veggies, rice, blood, and fish. And at that time, they didn't have to be specific with what kind of meat, what kind of vegetables, etc. But it's still the average person fed their dogs from their table. It was mostly a stew type of food or leftovers. And at that time, most people thought it was a little elitist to go feed your dog or buy canned food when they thought it was strange at that time to do that. Why shouldn't they just feed them from their own table? And one thing we have to always remember, and I always tell people this, is that a lot of veterinarians are afraid of pushing natural diets because a lot of us as Americans do not have the best diet anymore. And you go back to the 50s and 60s, people actually ate a lot better than they do today, a lot less of the fast food. And then in the mid-70s, I remember designer foods came out, like Science Diet. I remember we were also impressed with Science Diet and Heinz and things like that, that we all just got excited. But it was super expensive. It was mainly kibble and bag food, and that's when bag food kind of became more popular than canned food. I switched back to natural food around the late 80s when I started with creating a Shar Pei rescue. My husband and I had rescued Chinese Shar Peis, and we were on the rescue list, and I had flown with an airline back in the early 70s to Southeast Asia, and I remember Shar Peis, and I fell in love with them, and so I found that there were a lot of them in rescues because people didn't really know how to care for them. They had come here to the United States in the mid-70s, and most people didn't know anything about their diet. And I think still today, I rescue Shar Peis more on a limited basis, but they still do not do well with just commercial food. And so I learned a lot about food and that the Chinese Shar Pei or most Asian dogs will do much, much better if you feed them on a natural diet. So that's when I kind of switched back to natural food. I was really into the Science Diet and all of that. But where that changed big time for me was this was once again in the mid-80s, and I was stuck in traffic between the Napa Valley where we lived and San Francisco, and the only thing I had to read was a bag of commercial dog food that I had just purchased, and that was Science Diet. And I started reading the ingredients because there wasn't much else to read while I was sitting there, and I was surprised at the ingredients. And there were so many ingredients, but half of which I never even knew how to pronounce them other than I didn't even know what they were. So I started jotting down some of these words like ethoxyquin. And at that time, I was just getting onto the internet. That was the early 90s, and I was just getting onto the internet. And so I went home, and I kind of did a really quick search, whatever search you could do in that period of time. And I found out what ethoxyquin was, and I was shocked. It was a rubber hardener for your tires. Monsanto had come out with this to preserve your tires. And I was wondering, what is that doing in dog food and all pet food? It was also in cat food. And so it was pretty commonly in even the designer brands. And so I was really shocked by that. And many of the other ingredients I saw, which were mostly chemical of some sort. And, you know, so that really gave me a whole different idea of commercial food. And that pretty much sent me over the edge as far as saying nope to commercial food. So I started also talking a lot about to other people about this, and people were starting to call me a lot and ask me about the difference. And I told them, the contents of cheap food, which we're at right now with versus the more expensive food, there is a big difference in the contents. But still, the contents is mainly things that are fillers or have been overcooked. In order to make a kibble, you have to bring it to about 220 degrees to create the kibble. So that pretty much kills off anything that is really worthwhile in the food. So nowadays, I always tell people when you're talking about, we're talking about commercial food versus natural food, or I always have to ask them what commercial food they're using. And if it's the cheaper version, then you might find some ingredients like corn gluten meal, wheat, soy, meat or chicken byproducts, or even something like propylene glycol. Propylene glycol is pretty common in treats for dogs, and now it's gone beyond treats for pets, for cats and dogs. It's gone into human products, not food, but like deodorants, toothpaste, lotions, shampoos. And propylene glycol, you can do a little internet search on that one and even find out what the FDA has to say about it. But it is part of the glycol family, which is like ethyl glycol, which if you take propylene glycol and ethyl glycol and you combine them, you make antifreeze. So it's put in there to preserve mainly the fat or preserve a lot of the product ingredients to keep them for a longer extended shelf life. So there is a way that you can get around this and without having to spend a lot of time wondering whether all your ingredients are really worth it in the commercial food. I just tell people, look for the first five ingredients. And if it doesn't say something like chicken or chicken meal as the first two ingredients, or lamb or fish or of some sort, you know, but we just don't want to see corn gluten meal, chicken byproducts. We need to not see wheat and not a lot of grains up front. The first five ingredients show you the largest amount of things in the product itself. So I always tell people it is a lifestyle, not a recipe. And by that I mean, I know people have busy lives, and, you know, to ignore commercial food is not always something they can do. But commercial food is very expensive, particularly now that we have to transport it and it has to be made, manufactured. And so I always tell people, you know, it has to fit into your lifestyle. But there are ways that you can supplement commercial food with real food, or I hope by listening to this podcast that you might be able to start switching it in the other way and do more natural food and maybe supplement with commercial food. So we'll continue with our topic on pet food right after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned. Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. We have a question from our audience. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Jane.
Jane, and what's your question?
And I would like to know, I feed my dog good quality commercial food, but is there any benefit or drawback to feeding them regular table food in addition to the commercial food?
Now, what do you consider good quality commercial food?
Well, I get something from our local market here that's, they say that it doesn't have a lot of cereals and things like that in it, but, you know, I don't really know too much about what's in it or what else I should be feeding.
You know what? I think it's a great question because that's the question I probably get asked all the time. But I think the thing, too, is I would try to supplement with real food, but the one thing that I come up with, the number one rule, is you never combine the two. And this is what I know everybody does, and I've been accused of it myself. I still catch myself doing this. But if it is a good quality commercial food, it's very concentrated, good quality. And so then if you add some chicken livers or you add some eggs or something to the food, you're really piling on the concentration. And so it's better if you gave the natural food separate from the commercial food. And I would really promote that, and I think it's a good idea, you know, because I know we all have busy lives, and so a lot of people don't want to sit around and actually make a lot of their food. But if you could supplement, you will improve your dog's life by 25 to 50% on a daily basis if you're giving them those fresh enzymes. But my usually rule, and I hate rules, but my usually standard idea is that if there's a separation of at least an hour between the commercial food and the natural food. And so, like, if you came home from work and you gave them some natural food or vice versa, and then later in the evening gave them the opposite. And so that would be much, much better for your dog. And I think that's the way to do it. That's the best way for their digestive system.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jane. Okay, my food tip of the week, my natural food tip of the week is sardines and water. These are really great. I know a lot of people spend a lot of money on supplements, like oil supplements for dogs, fish oil supplements. But I always tell people, you know what, it should be food first, supplement second. So I always recommend that we try the food. If the dog doesn't like the food, which I guarantee you they will, and this goes for cats too. Sardines and water, you can buy them in little tins, and there's these tiny little fish in there. And for small dogs, I would give one can a week. I'm talking about a real small dog, like under 20 pounds, and you can give them one fish a day, one tiny little fish a day, a little of the juice, which would be basically all water. And you can give that to your dog as a treat, but it is real food. And the good thing about sardines is that they have a lot of sulfur, a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals that you can't even buy. And so I would highly recommend people do this. Now, a great place to buy these are places that are discount stores or like the dollar store. And if you have large dogs, you might want to do two cans a week. You can always put the can in the refrigerator and give them fish or two a day, depending on the size of the animal. But this is great. It's just wonderful. My dogs just love it, and so do the cats. And it really brings in all the necessary omega-3s, which I believe that most dogs and cats are deficient of. Because remember, we go back to the idea of commercial food. And back in the 50s, commercial food used to have fish in it and no longer does on that kind of level unless you go out and you buy the fish yourself. So anyway, that's my tip of the week. So we're out of time, and we want to thank our producers for making this show possible, and Jane's Attic here in Tubac, Arizona. And you can go to my websites, dogchefdetective.com or dogchefs.com. And if you'd like a transcript of this show or any other of the great shows on the Pet Life Radio Network, go to petliferadio.com and click on the Pet Chef. You can also send me your questions or comments to Mickey, that's M-I-C-K-I, at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.